Sure is good to be in church tonight, isn't it? Amen. This is my desire tonight. Help me sing this. Oh, it's my desire to be like Jesus. Yes, it's my where I am today.
Jesus, open your floodgates of heaven and let Is that your desire tonight? Yes. Amen. Amen. It's good to be in His presence again on a Wednesday night, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Wanted to make a couple of announcements. Lord willing, we'll be having a youth Bible study on Thursday, January the 31st. So keep that in mind for the single youth ages 10 to 30, from 7:30 to 9:30. Here at the church in the fellowship area downstairs, we'll be having a youth Bible study Thursday, January the 31st. And then a week from tonight for the Wednesday night service, I've invited Brother Morris to come and minister to us. He's been dropping into a lot of the Wednesday night services, fellowshipping with us, and just thought I'd invite him on one of those Wednesday evenings to come and be with us and speak to us. So be in prayer for that service and just be looking forward to that. And then also, Sister Barbara Stutzman testified that after prayer on Sunday, her eye is much, much better. So we want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. He's still a prayer-answering God.
Amen.
We got several prayer requests that we want to bring before Him tonight. Brother Jimmy is still traveling for work. I think he'll be back home on Friday. So I want to remember him for traveling mercies and safeties. And also, Sister Patty Hansel traveling for work as well. I want to remember her. And Brother Wade and Sister Heidi Byerly, not feeling well this evening, want to remember them in prayer. And Joseph Sargent has a bad cold and sinus problems. And Sister Christy also not feeling well. And then Sister Teresa Sargent has neck and shoulder pain, want to remember her in prayer. And Elijah Nicholson has a high fever. And Gabe and Will Eplin also not feeling well. Many out sick tonight that we just want to lift up before the Lord in prayer. And then Sister Stephanie Duvall, we've been praying for her right knee that had been having some problems. And then on Monday, she injured that and went to the emergency room. And they confirmed that nothing is broken, but they do believe that there may be some muscles torn and things in that way. So they're scheduling her for an MRI. So we'll remember her in prayer. And so I told her that, you know, if we had to, we'd just wheel her up to the piano. But it's, thank the Lord, we have a lot of piano players. So, but we want her to heal up quickly and get back to us. So we want to remember her in prayer. And also, Brother Trevor had sent me a prayer request yesterday. And many of you probably saw in the news in Nairobi, Kenya yesterday, there was a terrorist attack that took place at a hotel complex. And Brother Nathan Jones and Brother Michael Harris and Brother Richard Sutton from VGR were all in Nairobi when that happened. They weren't at that exact hotel, but they are at a hotel in very close proximity to that hotel, and their hotel's in lockdown from that. So we want to remember them in prayer that the Lord will just move on the scene there and bring them home safely. And how many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. And the Lord sees each one. Brother Trevor, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Amen. So many sick, but we know that healing is the children's bread.
Amen.
So we can partake of it bountifully. Let's just go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, You're a good God and a wonderful Maker. Lord, we just want to take a moment to worship You, Lord. That's what we're doing here, Lord, is to come together, to bring our licks of fire, to lift You up in worship, Lord God, that we might, Lord, come closer to Your throne, that we might come closer to You, to Your heart, that we would be captivated by You, O God, and that we would leave here having drawn closer to You, Lord. And as we spoke of worship, Lord, the prophet taught us in the Hebrew series that worship is not to just sing to You, but it's to go out and spread the gospel and to live what You've shown us, O God.
Amen.
So, Lord, I pray that would be accomplished tonight, that each one would be drawn closer to You, that they might worship You in their lives, Lord Jesus, not just in a church service, but, Father, worshiping You with our very lives. Father, many requests, Lord, have just now been read over this pulpit, Lord, for those of our number that are out sick with various ailments. But Father, we know that You're a good God. We go through these times, Lord. Maybe they're tests, maybe they're trials, Lord. Maybe it's just the devil just trying to beat us up. But Father, Lord, we look to a day that's coming when we're in You. There'll be no more crying, no more more sickness, no more sadness. Father, it reminds us of what we've lost and what we want to get to. So, Father, but in the meantime, Lord, each one is hurting and down. And Lord, we ask your healing hand to go in and touch each one. May the word be manifested, Lord, because we know it's already paid for. So we accept it now by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, come and join us in this service. Inhabit the praises of your people, Lord. We love you. We praise you. In the wonderful, mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time. He's an on-time God. don't know if you caught this Sunday morning when was listening to Images of Christ, but Brother Bram said, may our hearts be receptacles unto thy spirit. May we be so connected with the main line tonight yes. that the Holy Spirit could speak to our hearts and get glory out of his presence. Yes. So that just struck me Sunday, and I thought about that today, and so this came to mind. Why don't we stand and sing this? We know we have Jesus on the main line, and he's available tonight. I need him. Amen. It's Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Oh, it's Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. It's Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. You can call him up. Tell him what you want. Oh, you just call him up, tell him what you want. It's Jesus on the main line now. Oh, if you're sick and you want to get well, tell him what you want. Now, if you're sick and you want to get well, tell him what you want. Oh, if you're sick and you want to get well, tell him what you want. Jesus on the tell him what you want. Oh, his line ain't never busy. Just tell him what you want. It's Jesus on the main line now. Oh, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want.
Shake somebody's hand tonight as we sing it. Sick and you want to get well, tell him what you want. Church, if you're sick and you want to get well, tell him what you want. Well, if you're sick and you want to get well, tell him what you want. We've got Jesus on the main line now. Friend, you can call him up. Call him up. Oh, tell him what you want. You can call him up. Call him up. Tell him. Just tell him what you want. Boy, his line ain't ever busy. Just tell him what you want. You got Jesus on the main line now.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. God, thank you, musicians. What a privilege it is to serve a God that doesn't matter how many people has tried to call in. His call waiting just keeps going. It's never busy. He can just pick up for anybody and talk to about 5,000, 5 million, however many people it is talking to him at the same time. You know, everything man creates and everything that the devil does is just a perversion of what God has already done. Brother Ram tells us that the video and the tape recorder and all those things, God had those before the foundation of the world. So, and the telephone, apparently, where we can call him anytime, speak to him. So, amen. He does all things well, and we just copy off of him. But he made a better phone communication system than Steve Jobs or Bill Gates has ever been able to, or anybody else. And night or day, you're never out of signal, never out of range. It doesn't matter if you're in Africa, if you're in India, if you're in the United States, Canada, South America, wherever it is, he's just as close as your right arm is to you. Amen. Maybe sometimes you've gone through weak spots and dead spots and low signal and one bar and four bar and no bars and all that kind of thing, but it's always clear. As long as you keep the line clear, it's always clear between you and him. Amen. They asked, I think it was, I always have a hard time remembering the brother's name lately for some reason, but the brother that wrote Only Believe, Brother Trevor usually remembers, Brother Paul Rader, he asked Brother Billy Sunday one time, they'd both been preaching revivals, and Paul Rader had been there for about 6 weeks, and he'd ran out of sermons. He had a list of sermons that he preached when he went places, and he ran out of sermons, and Billy Sunday had been there about 4 months and never had ran out of sermons. And he said, Billy, don't you ever run out of sermons? He said, only when the line gets kinked. So we hope tonight that the line's not kinked. Amen. God bless you. As you can tell, we're still looking at this thought of yield that we've been looking at for a few Wednesday nights. My wife was peeking at my notes last night, and she told me today, she said, Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. I've already got it wrote in my notes. I said, I'm not sure what I'm preaching yet. I'm still praying about it, but Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb-yielding seed, and the fruit tree, yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, Lord, knowing that there are many out that are sick in body and wanted to be here but couldn't due to sickness, or some out, Lord, traveling for work and different things, Lord, we just ask that you'd be with them tonight, and Lord, may you just bring them back safely to us, Lord. And Lord, for those of us that are here tonight that was able to make it, Lord, I just ask that you'd be with us. Just give us a special blessing tonight. Lord, may it not just be a gathering together of people. Lord, as Brother Branham teaches us, we could do that at any lodge or any gathering. But Lord, when we come to church, we want it more to be more than just a congregating together. Lord, although we do appreciate the brothers and sisters that we can come together to fellowship with, but Lord, we don't just come here to fellowship, nor do we just come here to hear the word, but Lord, we come to worship you. And Lord, what a privilege it is to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Oh, Lord, the way that you intended us to worship, in freedom of the spirit. And Lord, you told us that, Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. Freedom to let the Holy Spirit move and to move amongst us and move in our midst, Lord. And I just ask that you'd be with us tonight, Lord. As we know, it wouldn't be enough for you just to anoint me up here on the platform, because as your prophet said many times in prayer lines and in meetings, it wasn't just enough for him to have a gift, but it took the people to operate the gift. That it took their faith to operate the gift that you'd placed inside of him. So, Lord, may the anointing not only be on the platform tonight, Lord, but may you anoint those that are in the pews or that are standing about, Lord, whatever it would be. Lord, may you anoint them, Father. Lord, to just pull on a gift that you've placed in my life so that you could speak something to their hearts that would speak right to situations that they're facing and going through. Lord, make your word alive to them tonight, I pray, Father. Not so that any man would get the glory, but so that you would get the glory, because we know it takes you to do those things. Lord, we ask these things humbly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. We want to look at this thought again tonight in this word yield, and We had been looking at it for the last, I guess, 4 weeks or so on in the way of the meaning of the word to submit to a higher power. And we don't want to stop looking at that form of it or stop doing that form of it, but I want to look at it in just slightly a different way tonight. Maybe just go slightly a different direction for a service or two with it. And as we read here in Genesis chapter 1, the herb-yielding seeds and the fruit trees, that they would yield after their kind, after their seed. And the dictionary also tells us this word yield, another meaning for it, is to give forth or produce by a natural process or in return for cultivation. So Jesus tells us in St. John chapter 15 and verse 4, he says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." Amen. You can't bear fruit unless you abide in him. He's talking about spiritual fruit. If we're going to bear something, the tree out here, if it's an oak tree, if you place that in the ground, it'll bear forth an oak tree because it has to bear after its kind. If it's a maple tree and you plant a seed in that manner, it will bear after its kind. You're never going to plant a seed for a maple tree and all of a sudden a persimmon tree spring forth out of it. It just doesn't work that way. And so no matter what the seed is, it will produce what it was originally intended for after its kind. Brother Bram tells us, you know, many times we get so worried about trying to, you know, just save people and trying to fix people's lives and trying to fill people. But I found out a long time ago, I can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. I used to get so stressed out, you know, Easter and Mother's Day and Christmas, when I knew some of you were going to have relatives that maybe didn't know much about the message, or maybe they had knew about it, but they had strayed away. And I'd get so stressed out, Brother Trevor, studying and praying, and Lord, give me something to where I could help those people, where I could. And you know, one day the Lord spoke to me out in the woods, and he just, not audibly, but just to my heart, he said, "You can't save them." And it just took some pressure off of me. That all we can do, Brother Daniel, we cast out the net. That's what God calls brothers to do. Now, I know even casting the net isn't popular in this age, but God called us to cast out the net. He didn't come by, and as Brother Trevor was preaching Sunday night, he didn't tell Matthew and the different ones, "Hey, just sit there and don't do anything and just wait till I come back." But he said, "Follow me and be fishers of men." So they had a couple of things that they had to do. They had to follow him, first of all. Wouldn't have done any good for them to try to go fish for men unless they followed him first. If they went and tried to fish for men, they might have been able to make them Pharisees or Sadducees, or might have been able to make them, convert to Hebrewism or Romanism or something like that. But they could have never truly had an impact as being a fisher of men until they followed him first. And as fishers of men, he did not place the responsibility on his disciples or on the 70 or on the prophets and apostles that would come after them or down through any age. Has he ever placed the responsibility of saving another human being on a human being? Because he's already did the saving work. So what we do is we cast out the net, and Jesus said sometimes it brings forth scorpions, sometimes it brings back serpents, but there's going to be some fish that come back with it too. So Brother Benham tells us this way. He says, there's no quickening in non-seed. I can't make you predestinated tonight if you're not predestinated. You say, how do I know if I'm predestinated, Brother Nathan? Well, the easiest way that I know is when Brother Benham said there in Who Is This Melchizedek in 1965, he said, when you recognize that this was eagle's food you was feeding on, you heard from your theophany. So if your soul amens with the word, not just to be able to go down and intellectually read a church age book or read your Bible or read the seal book and say, amen, 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 all the way down through, the devil can impersonate that. But when from your soul the word speaks something, and even if you're not lined up with it yet, even if you're in a spot to where the word goes forth, like maybe when Brother Trevor was preaching Sunday night and some of you had to say, "Ouch, oh me," before you could say amen, sometimes it hurts, sometimes it steps on our toes. But if you're really right with God, even if you're not lined up with it yet, something down on the inside of you will say amen to the word of God. It may say, ouch. It may say, I'm not there yet. It may say, Lord, take me back to the potter's house. But if you have the Holy Ghost, something down on the inside will say amen to that word. When he tells us that we have to have perfect love to get there, we won't just shove that to the side and say, well, I can get in by works, and I can get in by memorizing, and I can get in by knowing all the right doctrines, and I can get in if I treat the pastor or the right people in the message the right way. Oh, no, we're going to say amen to the word. Amen. We're going to say, Lord, maybe we're not there yet, but I've got to get to that perfect love. Amen. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Brother Branham tells us about how he went there to California, and the brother had all the orchards and things, and he went to try to show him, Brother Sherritt, he tried to show him how the different limbs on this tree, here it was, I can't remember exactly the citrus that it was, but maybe it was an apple tree or whatever, but yet on that tree there was oranges coming off of one branch, and there was lemons coming off of another branch, and different things coming off, and Brother Branham said, how is it this way? And Brother Sherritt said, well, they were grafted in. They weren't part of the original seed, but they were grafted in. You know, that gives me a lot of grace for the 144,000, the foolish virgins and different ones that, you know, maybe they don't see what we see, but they'll be able to be saved by being grafted in. But Brother Branham doesn't just say, well, that's okay, just come the grafted way. He said, but if the true church, if that true vine ever puts forth another branch, it'll be another book of Acts. Why? Because the life that is in it is going to manifest what it always has. It's going to be true to its life. Brother Sherritt said, oh, Brother Branham asked him, what if it puts forth another branch on this tree that's not grafted? He said, it'll have to be an apple because it was an apple tree to begin with. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't want to come in by the skin of my teeth hoping that I'm grafted in, but I want to make sure that I'm part of that original vine. I want to make sure that my life lines up and manifests and testifies of the fruits that that spirit manifested and testified of. Yeah. Amen. Whatever you are, time and pressure will manifest whatever it is on the inside of you. Many people sat right beside us in a pew for years, and they could pretend to be a Christian. They could pretend to be a message believer, but time and pressure begin to manifest the nature and the spirit that was within them. You say, Brother Nathan, what does that mean? Does that mean that they're lost? Does that mean they're serpent seed? It means they haven't got the Holy Ghost yet. Amen. Whether he'll give them the Holy Ghost or not, that's between them and him, not between me and them. But until they get the Holy Ghost, they'll never be able to consistently produce the fruits of the Spirit. They can go like the Pharisees, and they can pretend their way along, and they can do the walk the walk and talk the talk for a little while. But there'll be a point, just like with the Pharisees, when they come in contact with the Word made manifest, and something inside of them, under the pressures and under the time that they've said under it, something will manifest on whether they can amen that word when they see it manifested, or whether they'll say, well, we just don't believe it that way. Mm-hmm. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. Now, if you see a tree, if you went up here to Huber's or somewhere, and you see an apple tree or an orange tree or whatever it is in the groves there, and this large tree and limbs all over the thing, branches everywhere, and maybe hundreds of apples or dozens of oranges or whatever it is in this great, massive, gigantic tree, and then over on one side you see this one little snaggly limb that, and maybe it doesn't have any fruit at all on it, or maybe it's got one little old rotten dead apple down at the end. And eventually what will happen is the husbandman of that orchard will watch that tree, and if that limb continues to not produce fruit, what's he going to do? He's going to come along and prune that thing off and cast it into the fire, because he knows there's something dead in this limb. There's something that's diseased or something that's taken place, and if I leave it, it'll hurt the rest of the limbs. Yeah. It'll hurt the rest of the branches. So sometimes God sends the word and it's sharp, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's quick. It divides asunder even to the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there's something about it when people are sitting in an atmosphere like that. As my wife was reading last night about Ananias and Sapphira, they got to a point where the rubber met the road and they had to decide, are we going to go along with the word? Are we going to go along with the Spirit? Or are we going to just go along on our own carnal ability? And they lied to the Holy Spirit. And Brother Branham said in a quote there I read to her last night, he said when they got exposed by the word, it shocked them so much that they had a heart attack right there. And he goes on to say that the days of Ananias and Sapphira are returning to the church. Why? Because something has to take place to chop off the dead limbs. You say, who decides, Brother Nathan? Do you get to decide as the pastor? No, the Holy Spirit gets to decide. The Holy Spirit gets to do the picking and the choosing. Not any man, not any personality, but the Holy Spirit, he's the one. Jesus said that he would be the one to divide the sheep from the goats. He never named any other man that would do it, never placed me or any other man in charge of it. He said he would do the dividing of the sheep from the goats. So what do? We cast forth the net and we draw back, and sometimes it's going to bring fish, sometimes serpents, sometimes scorpions, but all in all, his will and his perfect will is being done. I am the vine, you are the branches. He says, without me, ye can do nothing. This goes back to the very essence of what we've been talking about in this entire series, is to yield, is to recognize, Lord, I can accomplish nothing on my own. Amen. But if you can come and you can take control, then I can accomplish much. No matter how pretty the branch is, you know, I've got a beautiful limb downstairs in my office that many of you brothers have seen. It looks very nice. The wood is still intact and it looks nice and everything, but the limb is dead. The limb, unless God does something supernatural to it like he did Aaron's rod, it'll never bear fruit, it'll never bear leaves, it'll never bear anything. The only reason I have it there is because Brother Charlie Cox gave it to my dad and he gave it to me, and is off one of the trees down there in Sportsman's Hollow by where the squirrels were spoken into existence. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, you're one of these brothers that's into relics, huh? No, I don't worship it, and I don't have a shrine to it, and I don't bow to it, but I do appreciate it. You know, if Elijah's staff was still here, I'd appreciate that. I wouldn't put a shrine and burn candles around it, or I wouldn't tell everybody they had to come and touch it to get healed, but I'd appreciate it. Right. Amen. If I had the original tablets that God with his own finger carved out, you know, I'd respect that and I'd appreciate it, and I'd have it on display in my home or here at the church if I thought somebody wouldn't sneak out with it, but I wouldn't worship it and bow down to it. So we find there's a balance to everything. I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Without him, you're just a dead branch that needs to be rooted up and swept to the side. But with him, you can bear much fruit. With him, you can accomplish much. He said, I am the vine, and you're the branches. Now, no matter how pretty the apples or oranges, no matter how beautiful the wood on the limb, and no matter how nicely everything, you might say, oh, my, just the way that nature designed God placing in this tree and the way that the limbs fork out on this tree and everything, my, it's so beautiful. But without the vine, without the life down inside of that tree, you can go down to Corton, Indiana, and see a tree that they've mummified or whatever to where it's as dead as a doorknob. It'll never yield anything, but it's nice to go and look at there, and it has some historical facts around it, but it'll never produce anything because it's dead, because it doesn't have the life of the vine behind it. Brother Branham said to the infidel there, he said, what intelligence tells that tree in the winter for the sap, the life to go down out of it and to go into the ground where it can come back up again the next year, and all those leaves begin to fall off? And we find many times, you know, I've got a tree there in my front yard that the last couple of falls, the leaves haven't actually fallen off of the tree. But come springtime, when the new life begins to come forth, we find that the new life begins to push those old leaves off, and they fall here, there, and everywhere. That's what's wrong with a lot of churches. They've got a lot of dead church members sitting there blinking. But let me tell you something. You allow some new life to begin to come into the church, and some signs and wonders and manifestation of the Spirit, and people that will yield no matter what that dead leaf beside them thinks, or no matter what their neighbor or their family or their church associates think, they're going to yield if the Holy Spirit tells them to run or dance or speak in tongues or prophesy or just to slip up their hand and praise Him or to shout or to cry or whatever it is, they begin to yield like that, it'll push that old life out of the way. Brother Branham said he went into that old area there and all that burn over in the trees there and the wind began to blow down through. He said it was creepy. He says in one place it was spooky. He said it began to moan and groan and ooh, the days of miracles are past. Sound like a lot of message churches, huh? You know, he was talking about the denominations, but you sit around at some of these message churches, and after 1965, they started saying a lot of the same things that the denominational churches said. Oh, God doesn't work that way anymore, and the days of miracles are past, and the days of this are past, and the days of that are past. But no matter what they say, anybody can say anything, but if the vine ever puts forth another branch, it'll be another day of Pentecost.
Amen.
Amen. Without me, ye can do nothing. He said, oh my, that wind began to blow down through there and it was spooky and mournful. And he said, but he began to hear something else behind all that. You know, sometimes we fail to do what the scripture, the psalmist told us there, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes you got to be still long enough to recognize what God's really doing. And in all the moaning and groaning and whining and complaining and all the woe is me and the spookiness and the eeriness and all the scarecrows that the devil was trying to put up, behind all that, the prophet began to hear something else and sounded like a little bit of a clatter going back and forth. He said, what was it? He said, there was some undergrowth that was beginning to come forth. And my, it was just free in the spirit that when the wind blew, the same wind that made this group moan and groan made this other little group just wave their hands back and forth and clatter together. He said, what was it? There was life in them. He said, oh, they may have been green, but he said there was life in them. Amen. And he said, every time that wind would blow, it just pushed their roots back and forth a little bit and just scoot them around a little bit. Sometimes some of your trials and things that you go through, what is it? It's the Holy Spirit pulling you back and forth a little bit so that you can ground down and anchor your roots a little better.
Amen.
He's the vine. We're the branches. And without him, we can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Brother Branham said this is the scripture that he was thinking on sitting there in the woods when the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, you're out hunting, what do you have need of? If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
Amen.
The problem is, many times, as we've said before, Brother Branham said, the greatest enemies of God are sight and time. And many times when we ask, Lord, I've got this loved one that's strayed, or Lord, I've got this sickness in my body, or Lord, I've got this financial problem, or Lord, I've got this emotional scar from my past, or Lord, I've had all these things take place, and many times we begin to watch that situation, and sight and time robs us of the faith. But Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, notice this isn't name it and claim it. This is his words abiding in us. This is him doing the speaking, him doing the talking. Ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you.
Amen.
Not it might be, not a hope so, not a think so, not a well, we'll see how it happens. It shall be done unto you. But many times, Brother Branham said, just as sure as faith will take away a sickness, doubt or unbelief will resurrect the very same thing. Amen. So we want to make sure that faith anchors down and we recognize no matter what sight says, you might look and say, well, my hand's no different. My foot's no different. My symptoms, my numbers, all these things are no different. Don't stop looking at the symptoms and look to Jehovah Jireh. Stop looking at the symptoms and look at the great physician. Stop looking at your watch and saying, well, it's been 30 minutes, it's been 5 hours, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years. Abraham could have looked, he couldn't look at a clock, he had to look at a calendar. And not only that, 24 of those he'd gone through, and about to be the 25th. And if we were just looking at time, we would have thought, well, I guess God just doesn't keep his word anymore. But the Bible said Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And then we say, oh, I'm a child of Abraham, but the brothers prayed for me last week and I really don't feel any better. So I guess I just don't have faith. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Bear much fruit. Yield much fruit. This word bear or yield, it's interposable. You can place it either way, yield or bear much fruit. And there's something about it when a real believer begins to yield to the Holy Spirit. They yield, they submit to him, submit to that higher power. It will also produce that they'll begin to bear some kind of fruit in their life. Now, maybe sometimes it's not a whole lot of visible fruit, but maybe it's things, impacts that you're having on people that you don't even recognize, maybe until you get into eternity. But you'll begin to bear fruit in your life, that you'll become an impact on somebody else. Why? Because you're manifesting the same life that's on the inside of you. Brother Bam said, let me go to a man's office. Let me go to his home. Let me go and see what he's feeding on, and I can tell you what kind of person that he is, that the type of things that you're yielding on. Why? Because whatever your spirit is craving, that's usually what you're feeding on. And you know what the Holy Spirit will crave? The Word. And then after a few hours, it'll get hungry for some more of the Word. And then a little bit will get hungry for more and for more and for more. It's not just enough. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come and get fed Sundays and Wednesdays or whatever day your church service is. But there's something about it. A true believer is constantly hungering and thirsting, not just for the written word, although we thank God for that. And really we should thirst and hunger after that too. But also to see the living word made manifest in our life.
Amen.
Amen. The true believer is hungering for the word because the spirit within them, if you had the spirit of Trevor Eamon in you, you'd crave chocolate covered donuts with sprinkles on them. We know that because he's testified to that. He likes the crumbly top donuts, you know, is what you'd crave, because there's something within him that's craving that. Now, maybe your spirit, maybe you think, my goodness, I wouldn't have one of those if you gave them to me for free, but I'd go down here to Jeff's Bakery and buy me a dozen apple fritters, and I'm trying not to make you too hungry tonight so you don't start thinking about Denny's before you get done feeding on the word. But you would recognize by whatever nature or spirit that you was, Brother Hoover loves broccoli. I wouldn't eat it if you paid me. But something in him desires it, or he craves it, or enjoys it. So there's nothing inside of me that does, but there's something about it. We both have the Holy Spirit, and so we both crave more of God and more of the Word. He's sitting back there maybe just thinking about it. Oh my, can't wait to get to Applebee's or somewhere and have somebody triple steam me some broccoli with cheddar over it. But there's no desire in my heart for that at all. But when it comes to things of the Spirit, we can have the same desire. The desire to see the Spirit move. The desire to see the Word come. Why? Because it's the same life down on the inside of us. Brother Bram said there's some things that his conversion didn't take away. He still liked to hunt. Brother Hoover, his conversion didn't take away broccoli. I know it's confusing and hard to believe, but... Brother Trevor, Sunday night, he began to talk about the candlesticks there, and how that it wasn't candles, but that it was a wick that went down into a reservoir that had oil, and that each of the ages they would draw from the same source. Not only each of the messengers, but each believer would draw from that same source of oil, which was the Holy Spirit. And we find he didn't get this far, and I hope I don't get too far ahead of him. I haven't read ahead in the church age book or the study guide book yet. I'm just lucky to be caught up with where he's at. But so I haven't read ahead. But Brother Bam tells us in the church age book, he said that actually what would happen with that lamp is that the priest would take the fire from off of the altar, the original fire that fell, that they kept burning, and he would take from that fire Oh my, it's not can't be some manufactured fire, can't be some worked up fire, can't be some, you know, slap somebody on the jaw and shake their mouth and get them to speak in tongues and say that that's it. Not a manufactured fire, not some emotional workup, but the original fire that fell back there, that fell and consumed the sacrifice, and that was a continual fire that they kept before the tabernacle for the sacrifices. What was it? An evidence that the Holy Spirit fell there and consumed the sacrifice. And they would take and they would light something from off of that fire, the original fire that fell, and they would come over and they would light the first wick of that candle, and it would go down and begin to draw the oil out of the reservoir, and it wouldn't just burn out like a candle, just like from revival to revival or camp to camp or church service to church service. Hello. It wouldn't burn out, but it had something on the inside of it that was quickening it, and that oil would keep going up through the wick, and it would be a constant fire. Then he would take from that fire and he would light the next wick. Brother Bram said, just like the burst of a Roman candle, it would come from the first church age. And when the fire fell on the day of Pentecost, not some manufacturer, Paul didn't get up there and say, hey, whoop up the music a little louder, boys. Hey, sister so-and-so, get out there and start dancing. But the original fire that fell began to light that first church age. And then from that church age would light the second church age, and on and on and on until the seventh church age. And I don't care what you think you're in, there's no more after seven until we roll back around into eternity.
That's right.
Amen. Somebody said, oh my, we're in the eighth age. Well, then you must believe you're in the millennium then, because that's the eighth age over there when time begins to roll. Actually, I guess after the millennium, because there's still time in the millennium, but that's that extra 1,000 years, that eighth day that we live through. But what is it? Once time ran out, it began to roll back into eternity. So only 7 days in a week, but then you start back over at the beginning. What is that? The eighth day. Amen. Somebody said, oh, I'm not in the Laodicean age. I'm in the bright age. You may be in your spirit, but your body is just as much in Laodicea as anybody else's. Amen. Your soul may be in the bright age, but it's not two different timelines. It's two different atmospheres. So each age would light. The Holy Spirit would come and light the next stage and the next stage on down, just like the wick of the candle. Now, if it did that with the ages, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but if it did that with ages, God doesn't change his way of doing things. He's consistent all the way through. I thank God that we serve a consistent God. I want to preach sometime, Brother Hoover, on a consistent Jesus. And see just how consistent that God is. Because you listen to some church services and some ministers and some things that go on around the message, and it's totally inconsistent. One thing over here when it's convenient, one thing over there. But I thank God that he's not as inconsistent as us silly human beings, but that when he does something, it's consistent all the way from the beginning to the end. The Jesus that is now Omega, as Brother Trevor was talking about, is the same as that Jehovah that was Alpha back in the beginning. I am Alpha and Omega, he said, the beginning and the end. He didn't change and from the Old Testament decide, well, I'm going to change and do it differently now. It was the same God with the same nature, with the same way of doing things. Dispensations changed, but he did not change his way of doing things. So if each church age gets lit from one church age to another, then each believer will get lit from one believer to another.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, I was talking to Dad on the phone the other day. I was just talking there about the fire falling on the altar, and I was telling him how I'd been reading in Numbers this week, how that when that fire, the pillar of fire, the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, it would come and it would hover over the tabernacle in the wilderness. And it was just canvas that they had stretched out as a tent. And they had all kinds of, you know, different colors, blue and purple and different colors that they had to make the materials for the tabernacle and the materials for the priest's robe and things like that. All the different colors that went into it, scarlet and different things. But it was just canvas stretched over. But because Moses did this in obedience to the word of God, Moses didn't say, Joshua, you worked with stone back there in Egypt. Could you come along and come up with a way, make me a design, etch me out something here. I'd like to have a place where we could come and worship the Lord and just design something for me. But the Holy Spirit himself designed the way that the church would be. It wasn't a man-made affair, but the Holy Spirit ordained the way every post, every curtain, everything that would be in it. Oh my, he was so careful about material, Brother Lee, that how much in this age and every age down through the church ages would he be careful about how his church was to be orchestrated? Not a man-made affair, not the opinion of some legalistic thought of a man, but God would orchestrate the way that things would be set in order.
Amen.
And so they set this up in such a way, and under obedience to God's word, God had so much respect to their obedience that the pillar of fire by night would come down and overshadow this tabernacle, and the cloud would come down and overshadow it by day, and it would hover right there. Now, how could you sit? It blows my mind, I guess, to think that people could come over and say, "Now, Moses, we're hungry. We're hungry. Why you lead us out here to starve? And we would have been better off to die in Egypt and be able to look over there on the other side of the camp and see a pillar of fire hanging over the tabernacle. Come and say, Moses, we're thirsty and this water's bitter. And goodness gracious, we had good, quadra-filtered water back there in Egypt. We would have been better off back there. And a cloud hanging over the tabernacle that would lead them and guide them. You say, that's ridiculous. Absolutely, it's ridiculous today that we have photographic proof of the same pillar of fire and people still wandering away saying, well, we didn't like this and we didn't like this and we didn't think that this consisted with that and all kinds of things. It's ridiculous.
Amen.
It's ridiculous that we would lay aside the Holy Spirit that would lead us and guide us just like he led them in the days of Moses and the days of the wandering in the wilderness. Amen. The pillar of fire, whether it was evening, whether it was 4 a.m, whether it was noontime, whatever it was, when the cloud or the pillar of fire, depending on which time of day it was, when it began to move, they packed up shop and they went. And it didn't matter if they journeyed 2 days or if they journeyed however long it would be. They stopped when it stopped. And once they stopped, if they stayed 2 days and it moved, they moved. If it didn't move for a year, they didn't move for a year. You go back and read your Bible and see if that's not what it said. Amen. But how can we substitute anything for the Holy Spirit, our own intellect, or some man to make him our absolute, or somebody's opinion over the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us? It's just as ridiculous as if you would have said, Moses, I don't like the temperature here. I think it's best if we pack up and move. And Moses would have said, do you see that pillar of fire hanging over the canvas? I'm not moving a foot until it moves. Oh, God, give us some more Moseses that'll let the Holy Spirit lead and guide their lives and their families and their churches.
Amen.
People today would have said, now, Moses, now, we're going through the land of Midian right now. And, I've got some distant relatives in Midian. And could you just ask the Lord maybe if he'd just take the pillar of fire down for a few days? Because we don't want to offend nobody. You say, that would be ridiculous. Yes, just as ridiculous as people that'll take this picture out of their churches because it might offend somebody. Or that won't read quotes over the pulpit anymore because it might offend somebody. I want to say tonight, if that offends somebody, I don't have that picture here. People get offended because of Brother Branham. I love Brother Branham. I respect him to the highest that I can, any man, but I don't place him equal with Jesus Christ. But I don't have the picture here because of Brother Branham. I have the picture here because of what's hanging over Brother Branham. And if I had a picture with Moses with the same pillar of fire hanging over him, it'd be right up there too. And if I had one with Paul hanging over it, Paul with the pillar of fire hanging over him, I'd have it up there too. But I will not be ashamed of the pillar of fire, no more than I would if I was standing there in Egypt and it was leading me and guiding me out of Egypt, no more than if I was standing in whatever land or country of Canaan that I was trying to journey through, if I was up to the Jordan and knowing there was giants ahead of me, I wouldn't be saying, put it away. I'd be saying, Lord, keep it here with me. And I want to say tonight as well that it's not just a picture. I thank God that we have it in picture form and scientific evidence. But if you left the Holy Spirit up there above Brother Branham's head, you've missed out on a lot that the Lord can do for you. Amen. I thank God that the camera caught it, that the light struck the lens, but he's not just caught back there in a negative from the 50s, but he's still alive today.
Amen.
He's still leading and guiding and working in individuals.
Amen.
Church age book. Brother Trevor read it to us Sunday night. Not only can we speak thus of the messengers, but every true believer is dramatically depicted here. They are all drawing from the same source. If you're a real believer, what's a believer, Brother Nathan? Well, Jesus told Peter, he said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Now here Peter had walked with him for 3.5 years. He had cast out devils in his name. He'd healed the sick. He'd gone about and helped him. He'd prayed for people. He'd laid their hands on people. He'd acted as a deacon and tried to keep the people back away from Jesus when he was tired. He'd seen the dead raised. He'd stood there and by revelation had said, Lord, this one says you're Elias, and this one says you're Moses, and this one says this, that, and the other. He said, but who do you say, Peter? He said, I say that you're Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter. Now, Peter, I want you to notice this. Peter did not have the Holy Ghost yet, but yet the Holy Ghost was able to reveal this to him because it was already anointing him, yet it hadn't come to indwell him. And Jesus turns and says, oh, Peter, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. What if you had been Peter standing there? You'd say, when I'm converted, Lord, what more have I got to do? I came and I shook the pastor's hand and I said, I believe and I accepted it by faith. And hey, that's good Baptist doctrine. But Jesus said, ye must be born again. So every true believer, what is it? The converted believer, the Holy Ghost filled believer is dramatically depicted here. Not just the seven messengers, although we recognize that they were absolutely depicted here as well. But he says, not just, we can not only speak thus of the messengers, but every true believer is dramatically depicted here. Whatever age that you're from, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you're drawing from that same source. Amen. That same oil that they were drawing from. Yes. Amen. God didn't call me to be a messenger. He didn't call me to be a prophet. But he did call me to be a believer. And if I'm a believer, I'm going to draw from the same source that the messengers and prophets and apostles and priests and all down through the ages have drawn from. It's the same source. Amen. As Brother Furman sings, I have a source. I'm thankful. I thank God for brothers that when my children are sick, I can call or text and say, hey, Brother Trevor, Brother Layton, Brother Hoover, you brothers, Brother Arnie, would you pray? My little child is sick. I thank God for that they'll join together because the scripture said if two or three agree as touching anything, it'll be done. I thank God for that. But I thank God that they're not my only source, that I have a source that I can go to. I thank God for doctors and nurses and medical science that, you know, when our child has a fever, we can give them Tylenol to help calm the fever down until the thing leaves their body. But I thank God as well that when the Tylenol or the doctors or the hospitals or the nurses can't help anymore, that I've got a higher source that I can go to. We're all drawing from that same source tonight. Hear ye him, 1958. God only works through his church. I'm just going to let that one soak in. That's not Nathan Bryant, 2019. That's Brother Branham, 1958. God only works through his church. Which church is it, Brother Nathan? Church of the Open Door? This church over here, Happy Valley, Branham Tabernacle, Cloverdale, what church is it? Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, what church is it? The one he talked about on Sunday morning, the Church of the Firstborn. Amen. There might be representatives of them all, in all those churches, but there's not a membership, there's not an address, it's a birth that we're born. By one Spirit are we all baptized. It's a birth. God only works through his church. The church is God's agency. He said one place in the gospel, I am the vine, you are the branches. You realize with all of our intellects and all of our trying to figure things out, many times we paralyze the body of Jesus Christ because we won't submit ourselves to let him work through us. He said God only works through his church. He said one place in the gospel, I am the vine, you are the branches. The vine does not bear fruit. It purges the branch, and the branch bears fruit. Oh, I don't know about you. I want him to come down and give us another purging tonight. Get all of the dead. Get all of the old loose leaves and loose this and anything that can be shaken about by any wind of doctrine. Just purge me of all of it, Lord. And let me have something that anchors down to where the life of the vine is flowing through me so much that I can bear the right kind of fruit. He said, so the church is the branch that the Holy Spirit is working through. He speaks through the pastor's lips. He works through his hands and through divine gifts. He sets his body into emotions led by the Holy Spirit by emptying himself out and letting the Holy Spirit take control. How is he going to speak through the pastor? How's he going to work through divine gifts? How's he going to work through somebody? When they empty themselves out and let the Holy Spirit take control. He brings messages. He sees visions and great things, no matter what it might be that God has chosen him to do. If he will yield to the Spirit, God will work through him or any member of his church. Amen. And let me just say this tonight. If you won't allow him to work through you, he will bypass right over the top of you and use somebody else that is willing to let him work through you, through them rather. I've told you the story before. You say, oh, I can't believe Brother Nathan would share that. If that was me, I'd be embarrassed to share it. Hey, I'm human. I'm human. I was sitting right over here one night, and Brother Furman was singing. There's presence of the Lord falling, people getting blessed and shouting. And I was sitting there playing the guitar, and I thought, goodness gracious, I feel like I could just sit down this guitar and take off dancing. I thought, Lord, if that's you, you know, we want to prove God like Gideon. Lord, if this is really you, will you do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and all the way down to Z, and then repeat the alphabet backwards, and then we'll know it's you, and then we'll do it. I thought, Lord, if this is really you and not just my flesh, send that by one more time. And about the time I thought that, here takes off Brother Layton sitting right beside me dancing across the platform. I thought, well, shame on me, Lord. I waited and it went on to somebody else. I'm sure some of you have had experiences like that. Maybe you think, oh, I need to call Brother so-and-so and encourage him. Or I need to go by and pray for Sister so-and-so. And if you wait long enough, God will lead somebody else to do it. Amen. I want to be sensitive enough to him to where he doesn't have to twist my arm and bribe me and beg me and persuade me. But just at the slightest nudge, I'll say, okay, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. A court trial, 1964. Remember, God only works through man. He chose man. He could have had the gospel preached through the stars or through the trees or through the wind, but he chose man. God always, he's searching, he's looking, he's longing for somebody that he can work through. Amen. Somebody that he'll yield to him, that he can access their capabilities and use them and speak through them. The Queen of Sheba, 1958, he's the vine, we're the branches. The vine doesn't bear fruit, the branches does. The church is the fruit bearers today. You mean not just the prophet? You mean not just the pastor? The church is the fruit bearers today. See, my hand is his hand. Your hand is his hand. Your eyes, my eyes, is his eyes. He just uses us as yielded branches. Oh, my, if we could just yield to him tonight. St. John chapter 14, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. But ye shall see me. Ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father. And ye in me. And I in you. Oh my. The same Spirit.
Amen.
Let me just skip ahead just a little bit here. Romans chapter 8 verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You say, oh my, I'm waiting for it, Brother Nathan. I can't wait till the resurrection and the rapture for me. Oh no, he didn't say immortal bodies. He said he'd quicken your mortal bodies. Amen. Don't put it way off. Brother Bram said, the Dr. Best there said, oh my, in the millennium we'll have, you know, divine healing and things. He said, what will we need divine healing for when we're in a resurrected body that doesn't have no sickness or sins? Many times we're waiting for something to happen way off in the future and God is just standing there waiting on somebody to open up their eyes and recognize, I can fulfill that. Amen. I'm there. That's me. I can be a part of that. Like Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. She didn't say, oh, let Isaiah's prophecy come to somebody else. I can't handle the responsibility of that. She said, be it unto me according to thy word.
Amen.
If that same Spirit raised up Jesus when he was dead, then you who were dead in sins and trespasses, that same Spirit can quicken your mortal bodies.
Amen.
If that Spirit dwells in you.
Yes.
Working of the Holy Spirit, 1956, he says, he had it without measure. But yet for the gift that was in Christ is like the whole ocean And the little gift here, Brother Arnie and I were talking about this the other day. He said, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this. Is it okay, Brother Arnie, if I share that? He said, there's not many things I disagree with Brother Branham on, but he said, this is one of them when he calls it a little gift. I had to say amen to that. Amen. I know Brother Branham's being just as humble and as sweet as he can, but if that was a little gift, Lord, just give me a little bitty one. Oh, my. For the gift that was in Christ is like the whole ocean, and the little gift here would be like a spoonful of water out of the ocean. Never missed. But yet the same chemicals was in that little spoonful there is in the whole ocean. Can you imagine if you was on vacation like Brother Trevor likes to do around, you know, January and February and go to Florida and preach, evangelize for a few weeks? And little Gloriana, she gets a mason jar and she goes out there and wades out in the ocean about knee deep and she gets a jar full of the ocean water and screws the lid on it and brings it back home. And there would never be a geological society or a ocean preservation society or group that was concerned about the dolphins or the whales or anything that would knock on her door and say, ma'am, we have a problem here. We was doing some calculations and we recognized that, you know, we're missing a mason jar of water. When you were on vacation, did you perchance take that? It would never be missed. It would never be missed. Moses, when the Spirit was taken off of him and placed on the 70 elders, it didn't weaken Moses. He didn't get any weaker. God, when he divided himself on the day of Pentecost and poured licks of fire out, he still said, all power in heavens and earth is given unto me. Didn't make God any weaker. Just be like taking a teaspoon out of the ocean. Nobody would even notice. Oh my, but yet the very same chemicals that was in that entire ocean, all the salt and molecules and H2O and everything that's in it, in that one little bitty spoonful. Oh, if we could just package it in bottles, Brother Trevor, and give it to people.
Amen.
When that same Holy Spirit comes in you, it may seem so insignificant to when he was here in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It may just seem like a little bitty dip out of the ocean, but it's that same life that was in him. Whether it's a spoonful or a tablespoonful or a mason jar full or a whole gallon full, whatever you got tonight, it's the same chemicals that was in him. It'll act the same way that he did.
Amen.
You put that little jar, mason jar full of ocean under the microscope, you'll see the exact same things as if you go out and you study the entire ocean of water. Why? It's the same chemicals, even though it's in a smaller portion. People tried to make Brother Branham Jesus Christ. Why? Because they recognized so much of the Spirit of Christ in him. It was the same chemicals, but just in a smaller portion. Amen. People want to make him deity. I say, hey, that's fine if you'll make me and Brother Layton and all these other brothers that have the Holy Spirit deity as well. Brother Branham said it's deity, God walking on you on two feet. Amen. But not the fullness. Brother Branham wasn't. You're not. I'm not. Anybody that says they are, you get away from him as fast as you can. Not the fullness, but a portion of the same God living in you will act the same way that it did back then.
Amen.
He says it's just the same kind, but not as much. Well, that's the way we are. When we're yielded to the Spirit, it's the same Spirit working through every gift in the church.
Amen.
Musicians, if you come tonight, let me read one or two more quotes and I'll try to close tonight. Faith, 1956. He says, in the same Spirit that worked miracles and done signs and people drawed from him everything is working right through the body of the church, the same thing tonight. He's the same.
Amen.
In another place, he tells us he's the same in every way except the physical body. He's the same, but he's in spirit form. Spirit form so that he can work through your body and my body and different people's body is the same except the body form. He'll act the same. He'll do the same. He'll speak the same if it's the same Spirit. What did Brother Hoover tell us? Brother Branham said there, if the life of Beethoven was in him, he'd write music like Beethoven. If the life of Shakespeare was in him, he'd write plays like Shakespeare. If the life of of some of these gangsters was in him. John Dillinger, different ones. He'd go out and shoot people and rob banks and things. So if we can contest and agree that's the truth, then how much more if the Spirit of Christ lives in us,
amen,
will it produce the same works that he did, produce the same life that he did? Last Wednesday night, as you know, we had a mighty outpouring of the Spirit at the end of the service and just a wonderful atmosphere and presence of the Lord near. And this time it was Brother Layton instead of me that the Lord was trying to do something, and he just hesitated. Don't feel bad about him at that. Every one of us here, if we'll be honest with themselves, have done things like that to where the Holy Spirit trying to get you to shout or dance or say amen or raise your hand or whatever it is. And he said, well, Lord, I just don't know. Is that you? Is that me? And so the Lord kept impressing this and impressing it upon him. And he was just waiting to make sure it was the Lord. And then the service ended and we all started to leave before he really could feel a peace about it. But the Lord just kept laying this on his heart. So he sat down here beside me and some of the people were going out and he wrote it down. And I felt led to share it with you. You can call it a prophecy or a word of edification or whatever you want to call it, however the Lord leads you. But this is what the Lord was speaking to our brother. Hear my word, church. I have spoken. If you will only yield, I will answer your prayers. I will heal your body. I will save your soul if you will only yield. Amen. I don't believe the devil would tell us that, do you? Amen. If you'll only yield. The word's already there. The promises are in salvation, healing. It's all a finished work at Calvary. What have you got to do? What did Brother Bam say on the quote a couple weeks ago? He said, how did the woman get healed when she touched the hem of his garment? What gave her healing? Because she yielded herself. Oh, if we can only yield tonight. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I believe the desire of every believer, Lord, as we've looked at it for the last few weeks, not only to yield to your will and to yield to your leading, although that would be our greatest desire, Father. But Lord, that once we do that, once we've yielded to you, Lord, that we could be so sensitive to the Spirit to where we would also yield or bear forth fruit in our lives. Lord, you know my heart and you know what the notes were tonight. And I didn't even get halfway through what I had on my heart tonight, Lord, but you know all about it, and you know who was supposed to hear what was here tonight, Lord. Maybe we'll pick it up in another few weeks. But Lord, help us to bring forth fruit in due season. Lord, help us to be a witness. Help us to be salty in our homes and on our jobs and at our school. When we go out to the bank or the grocery store, wherever it would be, Father, Lord, help us to be so yielded to you, to where we can look around, not selfishly, not with our own eyes, not with our own agendas, not with our own motives, but Lord, to where we can look at situations through your eyes. Lord, to where you could just borrow our eyes to look through for a little bit and look at situations and look at people's lives that we come in contact with. And may we look beyond their doctrinal ideas and their spiritual condition, their beliefs, their church, their denomination, whatever it is. Lord, you looked past all that for us and you saw the need that we had in our lives. Lord, may we allow you to take our eyes and look through us. Help us to see the way that you would see. Help us to look at others the way that you would look, with love and compassion and long suffering. To look at situations, Lord, and realize that we're all human, we're all flawed and failed in our humanity, but yet the Holy Spirit comes to change our nature and to mold us and to make us. And Lord, you've been so long-suffering and patient with us, Lord. May we be long-suffering and patient with others. Lord, when we come in contact with people, may we not judge them by the first things that we see, but may we look like you did, Father. And you said, you told Samuel of old that you didn't just look at the outward appearance, but that you looked on the heart. Lord, may we look a little deeper than just skin deep and see the needs of the people. May you use our lips Lord, if you can borrow our eyes, surely you can borrow our hands and our lips so that we could reach out to help somebody, so that we could speak to somebody. You could use our feet to take us from place to place and lead us and guide us where to go and how to be an encouragement. Lord, it's our desire. Sometimes, Lord, in our humanity, Lord, as I was texting a brother and sister today, sometimes we just don't know what to say or what to do or how far to push or how far to pull back, Lord. We don't know in ourselves, so we just submit ourselves to you. We ask you to help us to yield. Help us to know when to step in and when to step out and what to say and when to keep our mouth shut, Lord. Give us wisdom. Use us as vessels. Lord, as your prophet told us, you only work through your church. So, Lord, help us to be yielded vessels that will submit ourselves to your will so that you can bring forth much fruit through our lives, not so that we can get to heaven and say we had a bigger crown than somebody else. Lord, I think if that's our motive and our desire, we'll come up short and maybe not even make it there, Lord. But I don't want to see how big my crown can be, Lord, but I do want to help everybody that I can. I want to have a positive impact on people's lives, Lord. I want to be there to reach and help somebody back up when they're down instead of trying to shove them down further. Give us a spirit of meekness and patience and love, Lord. Take all that would be unpleasing out of us, Lord. Take us back to the potter's house tonight. Mold us and make us, Lord, I pray. More of you in our life is our desire, Lord. More of your leading. More of your wisdom, more of your grace. Oh, Lord. If I ever err, let me err on the side of grace, Lord. Lord, don't let me draw anybody out just because they don't see it the way I see it or because they don't look the way that I think they should look, Lord. But help me to look down deeper on the inside and realize that's a person that they want to do what's right. And use me to speak or to say or to do something that could encourage them down the right path, Lord. Help us, Father. Lord, take all the Nathan Bryan out of me. Fill me with you, Lord, more of you. Lord, may it not just be for the pastor, but for each one here, Lord. Mold us into your image. Help us to be more sincere. Help us to be more desperate. Lord, sometimes our prayer lives are so weak, Lord. I'm not saying that condemning everybody else, Lord. I'm saying it including myself, Lord. Sometimes we allow the busyness of life and the pressures and the things that we have to do and even things as Christians that we need to do or church officers or things, Lord, the responsibilities and things. Lord, may that never keep us from that time with you, Lord, or we'll wither up. We won't be a branch that's full of life, Lord, because we'll lose that lifeline, that connection to you. Strengthen our prayer life, Lord. Strengthen our walk with you, Lord. Lord, it'd be better if we could walk half a mile with you than to be able to run 20 on our own. Lord, what would it accomplish? As Brother Branham said, those running without a message, what would it do to run on ahead and try to be so busy and try to accomplish so much if you're not in it, Lord? Help us to wait on you. Speak to hearts tonight, Lord, I pray. You know where we all are. You know what we all need, Father. In Jesus Christ's name. Crying, Savior, oh, Savior. Thank you.
Reach out and touch the Lord
Before we go,
walk with me, Lord. Won't you walk with me, Lord? Walk with me, Lord. Lord, walk with me. And while I'm on this
You can go in the name of the Lord.
Oh, walk with me. Won't you walk with me? Yes, walk with me, Lord. Oh, walk with me. And while I'm on this pilgrim journey,
we'll be right back.